Good morning and welcome. Great to see you all today as we continue our journey exploring the diary of the Heilige Pia Setzner Rebbe, Rav Konamus Kalman Shapira. So today in section 3, he talks about our heart. Now the heart, of course, is the place of emotion, the place of feeling. It's also, from a Torah perspective, it's also a central focus of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yadata hayom v'hashivosa el levavecha. Bringing the teachings and the learning that we do and the knowledge that we have and bringing it to our heart. There's an amazing, a tremendous sefer, beautiful sefer, called Beis Yishai from one of the great Torah giants of our generation. His name is Rav Shlomo Fischer. And Rav Shlomo Fischer points out that the Aron, the Ark, in the Mishkan, had two parts. It had the Luchos, which were, it had the box, the Aron itself, which contained the Luchos, and it had the Kruvim, the angels on the top. And these were two separate items. The top, the Kruvim, was not just a cover, it also served as the place of interaction. So he talks in a lengthy essay about the fact that these two places where we connect to Hashem within the Aron and on top of the Aron within the Kaporis, they reflect the heart and the mind. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, famous great Chicagoan, logic of the heart, logic of the mind. So says the Rebbe, Imargish ata shelibcha bekirbacha nishbar. If you feel like your heart is broken. Now, in this context, he doesn't mean a broken heart in the sense of like the romantic Disney heartbreak. But when Chazal talk about Lev Nishbar, the Pasuk says, Telen Lev Nishbar el Vinidke Elokim Lo Sivze. God, Ribono Shel Olam, do not reject a Lev Nishbar, a broken heart. It doesn't mean somebody who's shattered. It means someone who is humble, whose heart is open. So literally means fractured. Fractured in the sense that it's open. It's willing to accept. It's humbled. So what happens? A person sometimes, the Rebbe says, let's self-analyze for a little bit. Let's think. Let's imagine. A person feels, if we feel, in margish ata, shelibcha bekir b'cha nishbar, that our heart is now, it's broken. V'domalacha, not in the sense that we're sad, but in the sense that we realize there's what to be open to grow. V'domalacha, and it seems to us, shekvar, that already, nisrachachu libcha veruchacha. Our heart and our ruach, our spirit, meaning our focus, our whole orientation, our self, it's nisrachich, it's soft, and I guess you would say it's malleable, right? It's open. It's nisrachich, and our spirit feels like, so imagine you go back to one of those times in your day or in life where you just have an experience. Where you're like, you know what? Yeah, I have to think. It's a point of inflection. It's a point of reflection. It's a point of, wait a second. You know what? Yeah. You know, for some people, Rachmana Litzlan, I know somebody for this, for them, Lo Aleinu, it was when they were in a crisis because they were in a car accident. Or it could be at some time in davening, or it could be at a person's, you know, nature walk. And the person just feels like, wow, you know, I'm just taking it in. There's something so much greater. Says the Rebbe something fascinating. Od al tiftach b'cha. Don't have confidence. Don't assume that this moment of inspiration will last. Rock rather, tamayer, hurry up, ba'od moed, while you still have the moment, lehikanes el libcha, to enter into your heart. And now listen to the poetic language that he uses and the imagery he uses. L'shadid es admoscha hakashe. Shodid literally means, what's a shodid? A gangster, a marauder, somebody who attacks. Es admoscha hakashe. the hard earth. What is the hard earth? It means our heart beneath us, our stubbornness. It's like a hard ground. And you need someone to come along sometimes to be able to plant, which is what he's going to be able to nurture that better self, to be able to chop up, to loosen the earth. You get one of those machines at Home Depot that you hold on to the top and it grinds it up at the bottom, right? He says, when our heart is open, it's an opportunity, it's an invitation to step up. Haskein es hapitzaim. Now he uses a different mashal, a different analogy of fixing. Petza means a wound, of healing the wounds that we have inside of us. Right? Our heart is now open. So the first mashal the Rebbe says is we need to do some work. We need to soften up that stubbornness. We need to loosen up the ground. The other way he uses the mashal is that of a physician, of a healer, of the wounds that we have, that we're struggling with, that we feel the pain of. Rav Kook writes in Oras HaTshuva that when a person is far from Hashem, and when we're far from accomplishing who we want to become, from our goals of that true self, we feel a sense of hurt. There is pain that goes along with Aveira. And that's the Petzaim. Petza literally means a wound. Now uses a third mashal. Hashve es ho'akmumis. Shaveh means equal. Hashve means straighten out that which is akum, crooked. Things, they got all, imagine like a hose. Why do I use the mashal of a hose? Because the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, says, Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso, we are attached to Hashem by a cord. Imagine a cord that's connecting us spiritually to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's all tangled up. So we need to straighten out that cord, says the Rebbe. But dafka, when we have this opportunity, Vahashlich Misham, and throw away from there yet another imagery, Es HaTolaim. Tolaim literally are worms. Im tse asehim, with their excrement, asher sham kinenu, that there they made it into their house, like termites. All of a sudden, in our spiritual selves, these little termites came, and they made a nest. And now they're just hanging out there. So the Rebbe says, when we have a moment of inspiration, we need to actually grab it and take it further. Take it deeper. Don't just let it pass by. Oh, that's amazing. I have something so beautiful. I have something that I can reflect on. He says, grab it. Aval maher, I say, Cain. Do it quickly. I don't know exactly the numbers, but the advertising industry has a standard. Maybe Wendy knows more about this from a marketing standpoint. When you see an ad pop up, I think they say they're trying to get you to click on that ad within a certain number of minutes or seconds, because even if it's the most moving, powerful story, if you don't click on it to donate, to contribute, to act, or, you know, in certain, to buy, to sign up, to subscribe right then and there, they know that after, either, I forget whether it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes, they've lost you. Because that moment of engagement is fleeting. So the Rebbe says, Maher asei kein, let's do this quickly. Why? Ki af im domalecha, we perceive she'ata margish hachna'a shel tshuva bekirvecha. We feel in that moment that, we're now more open. We're spiritually more prepared. It's maybe what we would even call hirhurei tshuva. Rav Kook in the seventh parak in Oras HaTshuva talks about the notion of a person beginning their process of self-actualization, of tshuva in the sense of coming back to ourselves and bringing that light that we're really looking for into our lives. The first step of that is hirhurei tshuva, the thought. And that's what perhaps some suggest is what the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that if a man who is not known to be particularly righteous hands a woman a few dollars and says, Harei at mekudesh esli amanasha ani tzaddik, I'm now betrothing you on the condition that I am a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, maybe She's married. Maybe he's married. What do you mean, maybe he's married? We know the guy's a gangster. He's a noisvarf. What are you talking about? Amanash and Itzanik. The Gemara says, yeah, well, maybe hirher tshuva belibo. He had that thought. He had that inspiration. He had that momentary, even if but fleeting, emotional reaction. So the Rebbe says, yes, you have hirhurei tshuva. You have this vision of what we can become. The issue is, mikol makom, nonetheless, yeshekol ze rak min eze taiva asher nechzera lechahi. Sometimes, this is just a fleeting response to some other need, some other emotional need that we're looking for. Maybe it's coming from a place that's not really drawn toward Ruchnius. Maybe it's not a spiritually motivated thing. Maybe it's a distraction. And not only is it going to pass, but maybe it itself is not something that's like super laudatory. And that also is going to be part of how we go through the process of figuring out what our motivation is. But he says, maybe im hakovod she'ata mis'ave elav, maybe it's a moment of seeking honor, o taiva acheres, or some other desire, nechzera lach, af im ein ata zocher ki chasru lach eila. And maybe you don't even know. Excuse me one second. Okay? Thanks. That's okay. I'll help you in a few. Okay? You know what we're talking about. Okay. Even though you don't even recognize that you're missing these things. So it's coming from a place of some deep in our subconscious. We don't even necessarily recognize that this is what is calling us. It's driving us to reach out, maybe to a therapist, maybe to a psychologist. Maybe it's to just be in awe. It's to read a new book. It's to go out to the water. We don't know what's driving it, but if we don't take it as an opportunity, says the Rebbe, for real spiritual growth, it's going to be gone because this wasn't necessarily even coming from a spiritual place, but we can make it into a spiritual place. You know, there was a Maisa, I know this, Nechama told me that she remembers this herself, from the book that we've recommended and mentioned a few times, Emuna with Chicken Soup and Love, Rebbetzin Machlis. So the story, they described that when Rebbetzin Machlis was making, you know, zillions of potato kugels on Thursday nights, Allah Hashem and Hashem and Heaven Aliyah, so sometimes the onions were very strong and someone would cry. And she would say, don't waste the tears, channel them for the Beis HaMikdash. The loss of the Beis HaMikdash, we can channel our tears. The Rebbe is saying, sometimes we cry, sometimes we have this inspiration. It's not necessarily even coming from a place of tshuva. It might be, but it might not. He's saying if it's not, if it is, it might leave, but even if it's not, it's an opportunity. When we feel inspired, when we feel emotionally moved, like sometimes maybe someone reads a book and they feel like, wow, they're really deeply impressed by this book. It's not necessarily coming from a spiritual place, but it's a spiritual opportunity, the Rebbe is saying. So he says, Mikol Mokom, we don't even know where this is coming from. Ve'ena tabatuach ba'ud rega, we don't know if in another moment, kasher es tavascha shuv tasik, when you fill that void with something else, im lo tischazek shvirz libcha kerishona, if you're going to be as inspired and moved in the first place. Ve'yashuv ha'even listom es libcha, and the stone will go back, listom to cover over es libcha, your heart. That was shaya pasuach l'rega, that was open for a moment. V'shuv yeh l'lipcha l'leiv even. Our heart will turn like stone. It's a very intense imagery. Orel, covered v'otum and sealed mikol tzad. V'ata and you tisha'er mi bachutz. You'll stand on the outside. Tishtokik, you will desire l'sakin ma b'lipcha. Aval oy v'avo, you'll want to fix what's in your heart. Nishart mi bachutz l'lipcha v'ein shum shlita olav. And you won't have that opportunity. So the Rebbe says, when we have this recognition that our heart is open, that when we are inspired, we need to grab it. We need to use this as an opportunity to think about our inner values, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, sometimes somebody will watch a film and it'll pose a moral quandary. So it's an opportunity to take a cheshbon nefesh. You know, what's our moral compass? How would we decide in that case? What are our values? And where is our connection to this coming from? How do we self-reflect in light of this type of experience? So this is one way of thinking about it, that what the Rebbe is telling us is to grab onto the opportunities that we have when we feel inspired and make them spiritual moments, even if they're not necessarily coming from a spiritual place. And if they are coming from a spiritual place, not to squander them, not to let them go. And then we find that we miss that moment. And then when we go back to do that real spiritual inventory, we feel that our heart is closed. But perhaps there's another element that we can bring to this idea that the Rebbe is telling us, a little beyond what he's asking us to consider. I think they say this in the name of the Heilige Kotzke Rebbe. The Pasuk says in Shema, V'hayu ha-dvarim ha-eila asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha. Al levavecha. These things should be on our heart. Avas Hashem, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, our connection to godliness, they should be on our heart. So they ask, what do you mean it should be on our heart? Really, it should be in our heart. Why is it on our heart? So I think they say from the Heilige Kotzker that here's the difference. It's very difficult to put something in our heart when our heart is closed. But when we have this V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, if we put it on our heart, then the moment our heart is open, it'll just fall right in. We'll be ready. Our heart might not be open at any given time, but if we have it on the heart, it'll be ready to jump right in. We can embrace it. So part of this idea of recognizing that sometimes our heart is open and sometimes it's closed is, as the Rebbe is saying, is that when our heart is open, catch it, grab it, don't miss the opportunity. But it also means we can prepare, as they say, like in basketball, move without the ball. Some suggest, I heard this name of Rav Soloveitchik, some suggest that that's part of what our daily commitment to davening is about. Every time we daven, every day, do we always feel super inspired? Do we always feel like our heart is flying, we're totally in it, everybody's focused? Not every day. But if we were to wait to daven till the moment that our heart was open, that we were standing at Vasikin on Lake Michigan looking at and being just overwhelmed, you know what would happen? By the time that moment came, we wouldn't know how to connect to it. We wouldn't know how to grab it. We wouldn't have any tools. So maybe part of what we're doing when we daven every day, even when we're not inspired, by being committed and connected to a consistent practice, is that we are training ourselves for the moment of the lev nishbar, that now we have a sitter. Now we know what to say. Now we know where to connect. Now we know how we know what our values are to tap into them. Because recognizing that this concept of lev nishbar, that there are these magical moments of inspiration, means that we need to be prepared for them. It means that maybe we need to be doing a cheshbon hanefesh, thinking about ourselves and where we're at and what our goals are, dafka, when we're not inspired. So that when we are inspired, we can take out that piece of paper and really run with it. And really embrace it. So I think the Rebbe is teaching us that we need to be aware of the lev nishbar, and we need to take advantage of it. If a person has that opportunity, you know, today's a good example. Today's Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we bring a sa'ir, we bring a goat, which brings us back to a little bit like Yom HaKippurim. We have Musaf today that tells us that there's a special Korban Chatos which is brought on Rosh Chodesh, which is discussed, the technical aspects of it in Masechet Shavuos, but the idea of it is that it's renewal. Renewal beginning that sometimes for people an opportunity to say, hey, let's take stock. It's a lev nishbar. Maybe a person is feeling a little more inspired, a little more vulnerable. So the Rebbe is saying, grab that opportunity, but I think there's also the side of saying, well, when that happens, will I be ready? And making sure that when we do have those Lev Nishbar moments, we have Alev Avecha. We have been living a life that prepares us to capitalize on them when they present them.